Of all the stars in entertainment, I never heard anybody make a derogatory statement about Conway Twitty.
No, you never heard anything.
No. Everybody loved Conway, and Conway loved everybody. I'm about to play for you the last interview I did with this old chump, and I did several interviews with him, but this, I think, is one of the best. My talk with Mr. Conway Twitty.
Shall I tell him who it is now so we won't so I won't have to keep you so long? Shall we do that now? Let me just say, folks, I'll give you two towns. One is in Arkansas. One is in Texas. Conway, Arkansas, is that right?
That's right.
And the other one is 7 miles from Shamrock, where the J.M. Tyndall Gin is. That's no kidding. Twitty, Texas. I've got him with me tonight, Harold Jenkins.
Yeah.
Conway Twitty. How are you, Conway?
I'm doing fine, Bill.
Doggone, I'm glad you came over.
Oh, I've been looking forward to it.
Right here in the studios with us tonight. Out of shade if I'd known you were going to be here, the beautiful wife. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, I see.
I'll come in walking in looking like Butch Stalkup.
I don't know.
How you been feeling? You look fantastic.
Shoot, I've been doing great, Bill. I've been feeling better than I felt since I was in my 20s.
I remember we mentioned this briefly years ago when I was doing this old show. You and the Twitty Bird used to fly over with the Twitty Birds, and I'm talking about your plane.
Yeah.
And we'd communicate, and you never did teach me to fly the Twitty Bird. You told me one time you'd teach me.
Yeah. We used to call you from about 30,000, 35,000, 40,000 feet up there.
Yeah.
And late at night, sometimes we'd be heading out or going back toward Oklahoma. That's when I lived in Oklahoma City.
Right.
And we'd talk to you from 40,000 feet. Listen to you up there.
Yes. And then I moved to Oklahoma City to be with you, and you moved to Nashville.
Yeah.
You keep running off. I'm going to try to move to Nashville one of these days. Now, seriously, here's one of the super people in or out of our business. I have never heard anyone say a derogatory thing about Conway Twitty. I want to say that. You know, in this business, somebody's just bound to walk up and once I say, I don't like so-and-so, but they never say that about you. You're singing better than ever, too.
Well, thank you. I've been working hard on it, Bill. About 5 years ago, I kind of caught myself slipping off into a trap that most of my friends in this business either are or have slipped off into over the years. And it doesn't take as much energy to sing down low, you know, singing lower keys. And I caught myself dropping high songs like it's only make-believe, songs like that down into a lower key. And I just decided I wasn't going to fall into that trap. I quit smoking, for one thing.
Yeah.
And I started exercising to get my lung power back up there where it was. And now I'm doing those songs back in keys I was doing them in 30 years ago. And I feel like I can even do them higher. So I feel real good about it. And a singer, you know, I didn't smoke until I was about 29 years old. So yeah. I remember how it was before that. And I know it's hard sometimes for people who smoke to sit down and really know. They don't really know that it's bothering you that much until something really bad goes wrong, you know. And by then, sometimes it's too late. But as a singer, you can really tell it in your throat. When it starts to bother you, you can really tell it. And it took about a year and a half, about 2 years after I quit smoking, everything seemed to be back to normal. I was back singing those songs in higher keys, and my lungs were back in real good shape. So I can personally testify to the fact that quitting smoking is really good for you.
And you seem like you're having more fun than ever on the road.
Oh, yeah. Shoot, I still enjoy it. And look forward to getting out there. You know, you get tired of it sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't get tired of doing what I do. I just get tired sometimes.
Sure.
But, yeah, I still enjoy it. The challenge is certainly there. Some of these new dudes coming along will flat make you get out there and hustle. And that's good. That's all right. That's okay. I like that.
Our friend Conway Twitty has come calling, I'm so happy to say. I'm going to ask you some stock questions here, but I know a lot of the people would like to get some answers. Who was your greatest influence in this business?
Boy, that's a good question. I was influenced, you know, at an early age by people like Roy Acuff and then Bill Monroe, and then along came Ernest Tubb, and then I think Eddie Arnold and Red Foley. And then came Carl Smith and Webb Pierce all of that bunch. There's been so many of them. And then, of course, in the rock thing, Elvis came along and knocked me out of my shoes. I'd been doing country music since I was about 4 years old. I got my first guitar and started learning how to sing country songs. But I always did it as a hobby. I never thought I was good enough to compete with the people in country music who were my heroes. And And so the thought of being a professional in country music just never crossed my mind. But when Elvis came along, it was a brand new music. It was a younger music. It was something I thought I could compete in. And he certainly was one of the most influential people in my life. And I got off into rock music first and stayed in it for about 10 years. And then when I reached a point to where I thought, well, maybe I've lived long enough and experienced enough of the things that a country song's all about, maybe I can get in there now and sing a country song like it's supposed to be sung. And then I reverted back to all the people who were my heroes in country music, and they all, every one of those people that I name, influenced me.
And you didn't have any trouble making that transition, the big move from the so-called rock, well, mm-hmm. the 50s rockabilly, more or less, and then into country. I think right. Your first records, right off the bat, were big sellers.
Yeah, they're not big sellers, but they got played anyway. Now, we're talking about a point in time, Bill, and you remember well when the people who mattered in country music, the country music program directors and disc jockeys out around this country, they were very protective of country music then. You did not hear a rock and roll record on a country station. You just didn't hear it. And some rock and roll singer like a Conway Twitty coming over there and recording a song like the one you played earlier, I Guess My Eyes Were Bigger Than My Heart. Yeah. There were a lot of disc jockeys around this country that said, I ain't playing that. That boy's a rock singer. I ain't playing that. But a few people like Bill did, so they helped me get a toehold.
That burned right.
But it was easier than I thought it was going to be. I thought it would take me 5 or 6 years before, because I knew country music and I knew the people in it, and I knew that they didn't trust. They just didn't know that I was a country singer deep down in my soul. I was a country singer, I was a rock and roll singer second and a country singer first.
I knew that.
Conway Twitty, our special guest. Somebody asked me to ask you, which song of yours do you enjoy doing most personally?
My favorite song. Well, it's just like kind of what kind of mood you're in. You know, if you're in a boogie-woogie mood, you know, it might be one song. If you want to sit down and listen to some gospel music, you know, it might be Clinging to a Saving Hand, which we're going to play here in a little bit, that I recorded, one that Bill wrote. Or, you know, if I want to sit down and listen to a love song, it might be a Hello, Darling, or it's according to what kind of mood you're in.
What do you think of today's, the current field of country singers?
I like Randy Travis, and let me see. Skip Ewing. Skip Ewing, yeah, a lot. I like Skip Ewing a lot. When he does the good country stuff, he gets off on that fast stuff too much for him, but when he does the good country stuff, he is fantastic. And I like Clint Black.
Yes. Yeah. There's a guy to watch.
Yeah, he's a good one. He really is. And I like the little guy with the funny cowboy hat. What's his name? Ricky Van Shelton.
Ricky Van.
You know, that's some of them. That's not all of them. There are others that I like, too, but I can't think of their names right now. But they're doing good, and I like it. They're singing country music. That's what I like.
You didn't do any emceeing on the stage at all.
I still don't.
You don't?
No, I don't talk, in other words, on the stage. No. I learned a long time ago, Bill, that, you know, people, they might not like the way you tell a joke, right?
They would.
And they might not like your philosophies, or they might not like your political views, or some of those things. But one thing you do know they like, they like your music, or they wouldn't be there.
Yes.
And so that's what I do. I do the music, and let the music do the talking for me.
Well, I know you got things to do. You've lost quite a bit of sleep on this show tonight, and I know it's time to let you go.
Hate to do it. If you want to stay, we'll be here till 5.
We've done it before, haven't we, Bill? I have a meeting tomorrow morning with Proud Mary Jones and R.L., and I guess we better sack it up and go on in and get a few hours sleep, because we're going to be doing some shopping tomorrow.
And I'll see you. I'll be there on Friday night to see you.
All right.
I look forward to it, and I want to thank you again for what you've done for our music, and a special thanks to you for coming over. It's not easy to drive over in the middle of the night to be on this show, knowing you got to be back or doing your thing tomorrow, but it means a lot to me, and it means a lot to your many fans out there. They all love you.
Well, thank you, Bill. It's awful nice seeing you.
All right, there he is, Conway.
What a treasure.
Miss him.